Who is it? Who is it?
Opportunity.
You're not opportunity.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not opportunity.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
How do you know?
Because opportunity only knocks once.
Okay.
Who is it?
The postman.
No, you're not. The postman always rings twice.
Okay, you got me again. How's this?
What was that?
I knocked three times if you want me.
Well, I don't want you.
Oh.
Twice on the pipe, pal.
Nuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Okay, let's get to it. Are you there? Oh, good. You're there. Okay.
Well, you scared me. You got all loud and...
I thought I should be a little more...
Why are you yelling?
Well, I thought I should be more peppy at the beginning of these things. I listened to some of these previous podcasts, and I'm... here's the guy that died a minute ago.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be happier and peppier, even though I'm delivering bad news.
I think that's a good plan.
So let's dive into it, okay?
Okay, okie dokie.
Okay. It's been a long time since we did our last podcast. I apologize for that because it was Lisa's fault.
We're going to talk about this, but not right now. Yeah. Because I know you have dead people to share, but no, we're going to talk about whose fault it really was.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Let's get to the dead people part first, okay?
Okie dokie.
O.J. Simpson. You ever heard of him?
Yep.
He was so... Back when we were first broadcasting, Lisa, there was not a half hour that went by on our radio show that we didn't mention O.J.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he was a good football player, but because he apparently was accused. Well, he wasn't apparently accused. He was accused of stabbing his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her apparent acquaintance, Ronald Goldman. O.J. and everybody knows the story. He got acquitted, and he was. Mm-hmm. But then later,
because the glove didn't fitted.
Yeah,
and he got acquitted.
O.J. Simpson. In a knit cap from two blocks away, it's still O.J. Simpson. It's no disguise. It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, he got acquitted, but then later in a civil trial, they said, you got to pay $33 million to the family of the Simpsons and Goldmans. And to this point, those families collectively have received $132,000, not a little short of the $33 million they were supposed to get. So how all of that is going to be resolved, who knows? But
yeah,
O.J. gone, 76 years old.
And yeah, I don't think I'm being hateful when I say good.
Yeah, you know, when I was a young man, O.J. Simpson, when he was at USC... I just thought he was the coolest dude ever.
Oh, yeah. Everybody did. The Jews, of course.
I loved him.
And he was handsome and charismatic, and he turned all of that into a media bit, you know, media, movies, all the things. And God, he turned out to be such a bad person all the way around. What the hell?
Well, I think the real tragedy of his passing is that he never did. For 30 years, he kept trying to find the real killer. Maybe he'll find him now,
he'll find the real killer. Because I bet the real killer is right now.
Ironically, the top executive of Hertz, the rental car company, died the very same day. Frank Olson.
No way. He's the company he's the guy that he did.
Yes. He's the guy that cast OJ in their commercial.
Frank
was 91, died the same day.
I used to run through airports. Now I fly through them. With new Hertz number one express service, I fly nonstop from my plane to my car.
And then came the day when we saw him in another non-rented car.
I'm going to have to interrupt this call. I understand we're going to go to a live picture in Los Angeles. Police believe that O.J. Simpson is in that car. Now they're telling me that they believe that this vehicle is registered to Al Cowlings, one of O.J.'s oldest friends, a teammate at Southern Cal. And they believe that Al Cowling, who's the other person they're looking for, who was with O.J. earlier today, they believe that this is the car. We do not know this is the car.
He better not pout, he better not cry. We'll never get out, I'm telling you why. O.J. Simpson's going. O.J. Simpson's going. O.J. Simpson's going to jail.
Another passing of note, Aki Bono, I think I'm pronouncing his name, a Hawaiian guy. He won 11 grand championships in sumo wrestling.
Standing at 6'8", 500 pounds in his prime, he put together a resume just as impressive. Winning multiple championships, he became the first non-Japanese-born wrestler to earn the title of Yokozuna, the sport's highest honor.
Oh, God. Can I stop you for a second? I just
you
can't
love sumo wrestling. Is that what you're going to say?
That I love sumo. You think that's what I was going to say? That
yeah.
I love sumo.
Yeah,
wrestling?
I just jumped ahead.
It is the most disgusting and vomit-inducing.
Oh no, you're not saying that.
I just here's the deal. I probably wouldn't mind it if they just wore a little more. I don't like that they have that little. I don't like that they
have
that.
That's your problem? They don't wear enough?
Yes. They have that little bandage up their butt. And it's like, can you just put on a tracksuit and go at each other? That would be easier to take.
I just think it's funny that that's your biggest problem with it. This
what should my biggest problem be with it?
That's why I never wanted to wrestle in high school, by the way.
Oh, because of the sweaty skin.
Well, you had to grab other guys and they were sweaty and I didn't want to do that.
That doesn't sound super unappealing to me, but I get your point.
Here's another interesting fact about Aki Bono, the 11 championship sumo wrestler. Uh-huh. He was accused of killing his ex-wife with a Ginzu knife. No, I made that up. That's a joke. See, it's a callback to OJ.
Oh, got it.
Little joke.
Okay.
Okay, how about this guy?
Ooh, ain't got no home.
I love this guy.
I know later on.
Clarence Henry.
Ain't got no home.
Yes, Clarence Henry, new to wear clothes. So, yes.
No. Clarence Henry, they called him the Frog Man. And this was his big hit. I used to play this on the radio all the time. Yeah, he had another hit, a bigger hit actually, but I love that one. Clarence Frogman Henry. And I loved that song, Ain't Got No Home, so much that I went out and bought the best of Clarence Henry, thinking they were all going to be funny, cool frog songs like that.
I remember you telling this story how disappointed and let down and almost betrayed to the point of tears.
Shattered. I was shattered and I felt ripped off and I thought, should I go back to Tower Records? I think I bought it. And I said, hey, wait a minute. There's no other frog songs on here. That was his shtick. You know, he'd do the frog voice, which you can do, Lisa.
I ain't got any money. I ain't got a bottom.
Well,
all you have to do is inhale when you're speaking. All you have to do is not like that. Inhale like that when you're trying to say something.
You mean like this?
That's it. See, you can do it. Anybody can do it.
That hurts, though.
It hurts.
I don't like doing that. Actually, yeah, I kind of do.
But it sounds. But it sounds pretty good.
I ain't got home.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. So sound pretty good. It'd just be another arrow in your quiver, I should
say. In my voiceover repertoire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ah, I could do a frog.
Okay, quickly now, some others. Robert McNeil of the McNeil Lehrer Report. He passed on at 93 years old.
Oh.
Good evening. I'm Jim Lehrer in Washington.
And I'm Robert McNeil in New York.
Also passing, remember this guy, Eric Carmen?
Eric Carmen. Why does that sound familiar?
Because this is one of the most pathetic, feel sorry for myself songs of pity ever recorded.
When I was young, never needed anyone.
All by myself. Oh. All by myself.
I love how sad.
Oh my god.
And it's just it's just so thick with nobody loves me.
Yeah.
It's the best wallowing song ever.
It's pretty good, but the king of wallowing songs is a guy named Gene Pitney, who I believe is still alive. He did these songs like this.
Only those in love would know what a town without pity can do.
And this.
Only love can break a heart.
And this.
In the eyes of the world, I'm a loser just wasting my time. I can't make a dime.
I mean, most of his songs were about feeling sorry for himself. Eric Carmen came in pretty strong.
Was he married?
Eric Carmen? No, he was all by himself.
No, the other guy.
Because if I
were his wife, I'd be like, what is your problem, Mr. Sad Sack?
I don't know.
Jeez.
In the eyes of the crowd, I'm a do-nothing kind of a guy who just live and die.
Then another guy named Steve Harley was with a group called Cockney Rebel, which was a big British band, apparently. He died at 73. And this was his big hit, Make Me Smile.
You've done it all. You've broken every code. I called the rebel to the floor.
Little different than the Chicago song, Make Me
that
Smile.
That sounds like a challenge. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what the song was.
It but sounds like a demand. Like a demand.
Come on. Yeah. It's your job like it to make me happy.
Right. I don't like
otherwise, I'm going to wind up like Eric Carmen. But I always like this funky version that he did of the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Eventually, do you remember a guy named Steve Lawrence? Do you remember?
Yeah, he had a show.
He did?
Don't you? Oh, maybe that's a different Steve Lawrence.
No. I don't know of a different Steve Lawrence. This guy was married to a woman named Edie Gourmet.
Yeah, I thought they had a show. He had a show.
Oh, they probably did, yeah. He was 88 years old. I thought he was a really good singer, but of a different era, of course.
Yeah, the Steve Lawrence show. I just looked it up. First episode, September 1965.
Oh, man. I love that show, even though I didn't remember it.
I didn't know that Charles Nelson Reilly was on that show. It says it. Charles. He was funny. He was really funny. And he's gone?
Who, Charles Nelson Reilly? Oh, yeah, years ago.
No, yeah, Steve Lawrence.
Yeah, Steve Lawrence checked out. 88 years old.
I don't want to go to the party with you.
I don't want to go to the dance.
And Steve Lawrence also recorded one of the most unintentionally creepy songs ever. Check it out.
Go away, little girl. Go away, little girl. I'm not supposed to be alone with you. I know that your lips are sweet.
How do you know that?
But our lips must never meet. I belong to someone else, and I must be true.
Oh, what a guy.
Oh, go away, little girl.
So there's that.
Go away, little girl.
And finally, closer to home, Seattle, Lou Whitaker, 95 years old. That's a good long run.
Yeah.
He had an identical twin named Jim. And Jim, both these guys are like 6'5". Jim was the first American to summit Mount Everest.
Mm.
But Lou stayed closer to home, and he used to guide people up to the top of Mount Rainier. And he was pretty impressed. I got to meet him a couple of times. Both of them, pretty cool guys. Jim, his brother, founded with another guy, REI.
The rock climbing outdoor gear company, REI.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the band or something.
Oh, no.
He was an amazing climber, but a lover of people. And I know a lot of his joy came from introducing people to the mountains, taking them above treeline and on glaciers into places where they had never been before.
Where are you going? Are you leaving the room?
No, I had a joke book all set with a joke, and now I've dropped it. And that's the second time I've dropped the joke book, and I didn't put a bookmark in it, so now I don't know. I can't find the joke.
Okay, we're not even at that part yet. We just started thing.
I'm worried because I had a pretty good joke lined up. Now I'm going to have to.
I know. And you blamed it on me the first time before we were rolling.
Before we even recorded. I know.
You said it was nuts. My fault that you this lost your place.
We should just start over. We really should.
I don't think it's going to get any better if we start over. So let's just keep going, because I do want to bring up the reason that it's taken us so long to get a new episode out. Oh, listen to you. What was that? Yeah.
Well,
I could feel your chin jut out and just sort of like, yeah.
I don't want to do a bunch of dirty laundry here and in front of our vast podcasting audience, but the fact of the matter is, you're the one that always comes up with reasons why you can't record today. Oh, I can't do it today. I've got work, or I'm having a pedicure, or I've got a date, or I mean, it's always something. So I just sit patiently and wait and wait, and then finally, okay, I could possibly do it on this date.
Yeah.
If you can't do it, then you're going to have to wait another 5 weeks. So I don't want to make this ugly. It's just the fact of the matter is, if people are saying, why does it take so long for these bozos to do another podcast? The reason is squarely
me
on you.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's
me.
It is. My experience has been that I have said, hey, Pat, do you want to record the next episode on Sundays? We usually do it on Sundays. This last time you said, oh no, I can't. Patty and I are leaving town on Friday. And I said, oh, all right. Well, okay.
You know why we were leaving town, Lisa? Okay. Stop joking for a minute. My mom died.
Pat, your mother died years and years ago.
I know, but I still haven't gotten over it.
That's not even something funny. Why are you saying that?
Well, I'm trying to make you feel guilty.
So I just sat back thinking, I'll just wait till I hear from him when he gets back from out of town. I didn't hear from you for 3 weeks. And I thought, well, I don't know where they are. What's happening here?
Are you done? It's a good thing for you that I'm going to delete all of this stuff from the actual podcast.
Right.
When this podcast is done.
Yeah.
When we say goodbye.
Yeah.
I want you to go and just think about what you've said and done. And then if you're okay with it, then that says a lot about your character.
Okay, let's move on, because okay. I have some questions for you.
I think one of the reasons I'm a little bit annoyed, Lisa, is not anything to, no, nothing to do with you, really.
Okay, what's wrong? It's
that my wife and I had the worst vacation week ever. If everything could go wrong, it did. I didn't talk about this on our previous podcast, did I?
No, because we haven't had one because you were on vacation. No. So I
okay.
don't even...
Let's don't go over that again.
Okay, where did you go, first
we
were, of all?
We went to Arizona.
I love you, Arizona. Your mountains, deserts, and streams.
Oh, did you go for the Mariners training thingy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you always do.
Well, not and always, you, but we frequently
And you
do.
Love it.
Yeah. And so we did that. And
yeah.
So we're always looking to save money, you know, because we don't have any. So I decided, let's really look for a good flight that's going to be really cheap. And my wife, Patty, came up with, oh, my God, look at this, Pat. We can fly to Arizona, round trip, both of us, we're going to pay $95 round trip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So what is what the math on that? So the math on that is 90 is like, so 40, 45 bucks-ish for each person. And then that's two flights. So you're paying 20 bucks?
I don't know. The point is.
I just. Yeah, what is the point?
If something is really cheap, yeah. looks like a really good deal, it's not.
Why?
I'm not going to say the name of the airline, Frontier, but it is the worst airline by far in the United States. And I can back this up with news stories I've read since that, yes, just above Spirit Airlines, mm-hmm. Frontier is regarded as the worst airline in the United States.
This is the new Frontier. This is the new Frontier.
We get there. We're only going for a week. We get there.
Can I say something, Pat? Don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just talk. So Frontier Airlines, that's interesting that you say that because their whole motto, I just looked it up. So you're saying that they're the worst, but here's what they're...
Yeah, they're the worst.
They say Frontier Airlines, but listen to this, low fares done right. As home of low fares done right, find great deals and cheap flights to destinations all over America. That sounds pretty yeah. good. Sounds yeah, really does. Good.
Sounds really good.
But you're saying it's not.
No, it was worse. Before we drove from Central Oregon up to Portland, Oregon, where the flight was going to originate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there. And then while we're on the road, our flight has already been delayed an hour. I think, well, why would they delay? Because why would they already know they've delayed it 24 hours before we're even there? But they did. So we get there. We do all go through the, you know, the whole thing with the checking your bags and all that.
Right.
And they go, ah, and then, okay, we're delayed a little bit again. We're going to be delayed another 20 minutes. Everybody just, we're really sorry, but they're going to be delayed. And they go, I think, why are you using that voice? But so yeah,
that does not inspire confidence.
So finally, okay, we're going to bring you on board the plane now, everybody. And then, so we get on the plane. And they don't have first class, by the way, on this flight. But the next best thing is you can sit by the exit row.
Right.
In the exit row. And you got more leg room. So we opted for that. It's funny. Nobody else wanted to sit in the exit row, which, of course, is because the people are worried that the door is going to blow off in the middle of the flight.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But this is actually a McDonnell Douglas plane, and we like the leg room, so we thought this will be great. So we get on there, we're sitting there, and we notice there's no place to plug your phone in. if you want to charge your phone.
Uh-huh.
They do not have internet. So you can't, you know, use internet at all if you brought your laptop aboard or anything. And they don't serve you anything.
What?
And the seats are not comfy. The seats are
plastic. Wait, go back. They don't serve you anything. Like, there's no liquor or snacks?
Well, no. And they brag about how it's so cheap. We're no frills. Well, there's some frills I would like, you know, like maybe serving liquor, maybe having comfortable seats.
The seats didn't feel like.
Maybe having internet, maybe having some place to plug your phone in so you can charge it. They have none of that. That's their definition of no frills.
Yeah. So that sounds frillless to me. Pretty frillless.
So we're on the plane. We're
sorry, everybody. I'm the guy that was talking out earlier. Turns out I'm the pilot as well. We're not going to take off on time. We're having a little bit of a delay here. I'll be back to you shortly.
So another 20 minutes goes by. And then he comes on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry. We're not going to be able to take off. This particular plane does not have ice melting equipment aboard. And we're apparently facing some icy conditions in Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Everybody's on their phone looking up. And then one guy yells out from the back of the plane. It's 50 degrees in Phoenix right now. There's no ice. Exactly. What the hell?
I'm sorry. I don't care what it says. You'll have to get off the plane. We're sorry. We hope we can leave again in about 2 hours.
Oh, so everybody shuffles off the plane. And Lisa, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but there was a young woman out in the, you know, once we got back out to the ticket counter, and this woman is losing it, just losing it. And she's going, this is the third night in a row I'm going to have to sleep in the airport because you bastards can't take off. Your plane can't even fly. And I got to get home to Detroit.
I want to go home. I want to go home. Oh, I want to go home.
I'm going to die. And she's carrying him. And my wife, Patty, says, sweetheart, she comforts this girl. And, you know, tells her, I know what you're going through. We're sorry. Blah, blah, blah. She hugged her. So then it turns out the whole flight is finally canceled. And so we go. We have to get a motel room we hadn't planned on. And we have to get a motel room. And then, so our flight, we're going to take the same flight the next night. And it's a late night flight at that.
And you're still in Portland at this point.
Yeah, we're still in Portland. 10 p.m.
Where are you going is my question. Where were you headed?
Phoenix.
Portland. Oh, that's right. Portland to Phoenix. Okay.
Yeah, you
could have probably driven. You could have probably
there. Yeah, I think it'd take you two or three days.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So then we finally get on the plane. It's also disastrous. I'm not going to keep going. Patty set up an Airbnb with a guy named Howie. He calls it Howie's Homes. So we get there, and it turns out Howie is also in this house.
Oh.
He keeps saying, well, you'll never see me because you're going to be completely private in the back of the house. And he's a guy that puts these passive aggressive signs all over the house. That should be a
tip-off. Oh, I love this. What?
Well, a typical one would be little signs that say, you know, I've had people that have ripped me off in the past. They've stolen things. I'm hoping you wouldn't be one of those people.
That's signed a great Howie. Sign.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's all over the place. And Howie's advertisement as a B&B, he says, we got a hot tub, full kitchen, wonderful private bedroom. And it's, so we get in there to this place. There's these signs everywhere. There is no hot tub. Then we see a sign that says,
some previous people, they broke my hot tub, so I had to remove it.
He sounds like the pilot.
Yeah, he does. Could be the same guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then...
So someone broke their hot tub. How do you break a hot tub?
I don't know.
It was probably a sumo wrestler who tried to get into it.
Yeah, it could be. A 480-pound sumo.
Oh, jeez.
So that doesn't work. The dishwasher doesn't work. The refrigerator doesn't make any ice. That's broken.
Oh, man.
The shower door is broken. And then the greatest part of all is the bedroom, the master bedroom. We go in there, and you might as well have set up a hammock in there.
Was the bed broken?
It's tiny. It's the tiniest bed. A child would fall out of this bed. And both of us are supposed to sleep there. It's just the worst. Everything about it sucked. The backyard was just a mess. There's crap everywhere. The whole thing, and it was dirty, really filthy.
Ew.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of reading about Airbnbs since.
Yes.
And one thing you should never do, we've now learned, is do not book anything through a third party. In other words, and maybe this has not been your experience, but don't book anything through Expedia.
No. No, ever, never.
Yeah, kayak, go, forget it.
No, go right on to the Airbnb. I've had really good experiences with Airbnbs. Our friend,
Trixie.
But
you never stayed at Howie's.
Our friend Trixie, she's very well versed in Airbnb stuff. She knows her stuff. So she is really good at telling me, you know, you always want to get a super host and you always want to make sure you're looking. There's some tricks to getting good places on there. And I've not been disappointed at all. So, don't book it through the third. No, go right to Airbnb through Airbnb. And you're probably going to save some money going straight to them too.
And we rented a car from a company, I can't remember the name of it. I'd never heard of it before. They're not with the other rental car places at the airport. Oh, no. You get into a van and drive. God, it had to be 14 miles away to this rental car. And then there's a huge, long line to get your rental car. It was just a nightmare trip. Everything about it sucked. That's all I have to say.
So back to this, what is that lesson is to quit being such a cheapskate?
I guess that is the lesson. Yeah.
That's the lesson.
Yeah. You try to
cheapskate.
Save money and you're going to wind up paying more money. We had to buy hotel rooms we hadn't planned on.
Right.
Get a different rental car. We paid a lot more money. All this stuff because we tried to save money and we want it's on the end. Anyway,
being a cheapskate is going to burn you in the butt every single time.
Boy, I wish I'd talked to you before that. You had something you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, hey, I like that you brought up the whole dishwasher, everything was broken, because I wanted to ask you, this isn't really super important, but I found it really interesting because I was bored, because I didn't have anybody to do a podcast with for 3 weeks. But that aside, are you a part of any Facebook groups? So I know, you know, you're on Facebook. You got your friends, you got your things, but are you part of any specific Facebook groups? You know what I'm asking you?
Sort of I am, like radio groups maybe.
Okay, good.
Broadcasting things, but I got to tell you, if I check in on Facebook twice a week, that is very frequent for me. I'm virtually not on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not much either, but I am. I'm like you. I have I'm on a gardening Facebook page and a.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah.
Just I'm a also variety.
I'm on a sewing group too. Yeah.
You are?
And ballet.
What do you sew?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on a ballet Facebook group?
Yeah, yeah. These are just things I'm interested in and things that I do. I didn't know that you knew that I was a ballet dancer, but yeah.
I didn't know you were a ballet dancer is what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
I was, I was with the...
I was with the Bolshoi, Paris, New York City Ballet, the Joffrey, you know.
Okay, so there is a Facebook...
Puppetry, too. I'm on a puppetry group. Yeah.
Puppetry?
Yeah, I like doing puppets. Go ahead. Oh, and a mime group. I've been a mime since high school. I never talked about it before. Go ahead with what you were saying.
So let me ask you this.
Sword swallowing, too. I'm in a sword swallowing group. I quit the fire eating group.
Why?
Well, it hurts. God dang, it hurts. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, do you load the dishwasher at your the Cashman abode? Do you ever do the dishes? Do you load the dishwasher?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Usually, that's my duty. Yep.
Okay, so there is a Facebook group, an extreme dishwasher loading Facebook group, absolutely dedicated to the correct manner, and they get into these big long discussions about how to properly load a dishwasher. And I found it interesting to note that there are apparently some divorces have happened over failing to load the dishwasher properly. So does Patty have a specific, apparently it's more quality, not quantity, when it comes to this. And this is a private Facebook group, by the way, which has about 29,000 people in it. And they talk about the pros and cons of pre-rinsing. What are the little cutlery, you know what I mean? The silverware thingy, is that is that being used properly? Do you put the silverware up or do you put it down? Dishwasher tablets versus powder. Do you hand wash? Is that bad? Do you all this stuff? This is a crazy face, and it's not a parody. These are people who are seriously serious about how to load the dishwasher. Now, I subscribe to the pack as much shit in there as you can. I don't care. I will pack my dishwasher. It's amazing how much crap you can get in there.
Yeah.
So does Patty have a different method? Did you guys ever have a disagreement about loading the dishwasher? What's going on in your house?
You know, I've never talked about this to her, but I'm going to tell you right now.
What? Tell me what?
She pisses me off. Because she sticks stuff in the dishwasher, which, by the way, dishwashers are really, they don't wash the dishes. They just sanitize them for the most part. So you got to clean can't stick it in there with macaroni stuck to it. You got to get rid.
Yes, you can.
You got to rinse it off a little bit before
you put it.
Yes, see? You do.
No, you
because
don't.
I know because it comes out and the macaroni's still there. You got to take some of the big crap off of there.
Well, that's the thing. Of course, you're going to take the big, chicken bones.
She sticks entire bowls of chili in there. You know, like that's going to just magically come clean. And so that I'm always pulling stuff out after she's loaded in.
This is interesting.
Don't tell her.
I won't.
This is true. And I get annoyed with it. How hard is it? Just rinse this stuff off a little bit. Would you? Yeah. Could you?
Well, this is what you probably need to join this group so that you can air some of this stuff and get some support.
No, I don't think I'll be joining that group. I think you probably have passed away if you are a member of that group. I can't think of anything more boring or more of a waste of time than the dishwasher discussion.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Well, there's all sorts of written guides on how to do it properly. And according to this article I was reading, there was a student, a PhD student, who wrote a 300-page thesis on the science behind dishwasher loading. So there you go. Just thought I'd ask.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I have another question for you. Do you snore?
Yeah, whenever I'm on that website you just talked about. I don't know. Sometimes I'm told I do, but for the most part, the report from my significant other is that I don't generally snore.
Does she snore?
Oh God! No, everybody's. I think everybody snores. Our
maybe
dogs.
That's why she can't hear you snoring.
Yeah, maybe our dogs snore. I know that they're pretty loud sometimes too.
Yeah,
even our cat snores. But
the cat snores?
Yeah, a little bit.
Some people are carnivores, and they all get canker sores, and everybody snores sometimes.
I've never heard a cat snore.
It's like...
No, that is not how a cat snores.
No, that's me. That's how I snore.
Oh, got it. Yeah, I bet you're a gentle little cute snorer. I bet you're not. And this is why I was looking at this article that talked about how vegetarians snore less. There was a study done about the connection between diet and snoring, sleep apnea. And apparently the researchers found all these people who they just fed them lettuce and celery sticks, they magically stopped snoring. Hmm. But I do wonder if it has to do with how large you are, because snoring and obesity are very well linked together. So maybe that's what it is. But anyway, just thought I would ask you. I don't really care if you snore or not.
Clearing your throat a lot, or maybe you... Maybe it's a little post-snoring going on.
I don't know what's happening for me.
It's amazing to me how many people I know that have CPAP machines.
Yes, yeah. Me too.
Yeah. You don't have one.
No, right? I don't.
Yeah,
but
I can think of offhand four or five of my friends, some of them around my age, but not all of them.
Me too.
This is something that... they have to strap on every night when they go on a vacation. They got to take it with them.
Oh,
yeah.
What a drag.
I mean, my cousin, he has a CPAP machine, and he is a hunter. He loves going hunting, and so do his friends. And so apparently he's talked about one hunting trip they went on where they slept overnight, and he hooked up to his car battery all of their four CPAP machines. So they're all...
Yeah. Do you sleep pretty well? Are you
I like to think so. Hey, doesn't have anything to do. I'm just going to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's never too late to become a serial killer.
That's true.
And then I wanted to bring up one more thing that I thought was kind of fascinating. You've seen these ads for Ozempic.
I have seen them. And they're like...
Type 2 diabetes, yeah.
Okay, so it's a medication that started out to treat diabetes, but now everybody's like, well, wait just a cut and pick a minute, because apparently you can lose all your sumo wrestling body fat if you inject yourself with this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. It's being used for weight loss. But here's what I thought was interesting. Here's the Ozempic song that's in the commercial.
Type 2 diabetes?
Discover the Ozempic Trizone.
My Ozempic Trizone, I lowered my A1C, CV risk, and lost some weight.
Okay, so you recognize it as an earworm, and you say, wait a minute, I've heard that music before.
Yeah.
It's this song from 1974. And the group was called Pilot. The song was called Magic.
It's magic.
Here's what's interesting to me. The lead singer, David Patton, is his name. He's 73. He did the original vocal on Magic. He's got a real high register voice. You might have even thought it was a woman singing, but it's a guy, David Patton. Well, last year, just about exactly a year ago, he goes into the studio at Abbey Road Studios, you know, where the Beatles perform.
Right.
And this is where he recorded the original song, Magic. He goes back to the studio all those years later to sing this new version for the Ozempic commercial. And that's the same guy singing, but he's 73 now, and he was worried, gee, I don't know if I can hit that high note anymore, but he did.
It's magic, you know.
And you're starting to hear this more and more, where they're taking hit songs, not even necessarily big hits, and yeah. they're turning them into commercials. Somebody's making big dough.
Yeah.
Subway's
yeah.
got that $5 foot-long thing that Subway's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And McDonald's has got that I'm loving it campaign.
Yeah.
So Ozempic paid this guy however much money to make this Ozempic song. And the parent company of Ozempic, I mean, Ozempic's sales have gone off the charts.
I bet.
Because probably because of this song, because it sticks in your brain. Yeah. Novo Nordisk is the parent company. It's Europe's most valuable public company, worth $570 billion. Okay, yeah. So.
Okay, I got stuff to do. I gotta go get a pedicure, and I got things I've got to do. So are you, do you have a joke? Oh, I forgot. You dropped your book.
Yeah, I did. God dang it, I did it again. Believe it.
Do you have one book that you is your go-to book that all the jokes that we wrap our podcast with is that?
No.
You have several.
Yes, you wouldn't believe how many joke books I got. And not all of them are very good, but this one is actually entitled The Greatest Joke Book Ever.
And it is?
That's the name of it, The Greatest Joke Book Ever.
But is it The Greatest
Joke Book Ever? No, it's not.
Oh.
And so you're about to learn. And okay. And I had a really good joke picked out, Lisa. And you made me drop it.
Okay, this is the other thing that you've blamed. You are playing the blame game today because you blame me for the podcast taping being in arrears. You blame me that what did I do exactly to make you drop the book and lose your joke? What happened exactly that did I do? Did I upset you? Is that what happened?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was finding a better joke. And sometimes I have not read this joke before. But it's a long joke, and I like long jokes.
I do, too.
Okay, so I hope it pays off at the end. All I know is it's long, and it includes a frog. How could I go wrong?
Sounds like a great start. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. A fairly successful businessman in his early 30s was getting kind of lonely for some companionship. He was he's rich, you know, he's well off. He lives in a nice apartment. He has refined tastes. Mm-hmm. But somehow or other, he could never find Lisa Foster, the perfect companion. And finally, he had an inspiration. Mm. So he goes into a pet shop and he explains his problem to the very sympathetic clerk there. And the clerk thinks for a minute and then says, "I have the perfect pet for you, sir." And he said, "Thank you, ma'am. What is it?" And the woman disappears into the back of the shop, and she comes back with a little cardboard box. And the businessman opens the box, and what do you think he finds in there, Lisa?
A pack of cigarettes, because that's what the lady who has the pet shop is smoking all day.
No, that's a good guess, but no, it's a frog.
It's a frog.
It's a frog. And the salesman says, the saleswoman said, "Yeah, it's a frog, but it's not just any frog. I really think you're going to be surprised with this pet. May I suggest you take it home for a trial? And if it does not meet with your satisfaction, you can bring the frog back within a week and you get a full refund."
Hey, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just want to make sure I'm keeping up here. So
yes.
he went to her and said, "Look, I'm lonely. I can't get any dates,"
right.
basically.
Yes.
And she said, "I have something that will help you." And she brings out the frog.
Yep.
Does she explain how the frog is going to help him, or he just blindly takes the frog and just goes? Is that
Well, she doesn't explain it. But on the other hand, how could he refuse it? Because if he's not happy with the result.
Oh, got it.
He's going to get a full refund. She doesn't have to explain how the frog is going to make him happy.
Okay.
He'll find out. Yeah.
Okay. So he pays for the frog.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he goes.
Yeah. And he takes the box under his arm. He goes home. When he gets home, he sets the box in a corner. He takes the lid off so the frog can breathe. And then he looked at it for a moment and nothing special going on. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So he goes across the room, Lisa, to his bar, mixes himself a martini, but just as he brings the glass to his lips, he hears a voice say, "Excuse me." He looks around. There's nobody there. He locked the door. I mean, there's nobody else. He lives on the 7th floor. There couldn't be anybody outside the window.
Right.
He's confused. He's pondering. Sure. He shrugs and he raises his glass again. And just as he's about to take a sip,
pardon me.
Guy glanced at the box. The frog looked up at him.
I couldn't help noticing that you made yourself an excellent martini there.
Guy said, "Wait a minute. You talk?" The frog laughed.
"Well, of course I talk. But that martini, well, I just happen to be a very particular martini drinker, and you mixed that martini exactly the way I like mine. Not too dry, not too..." Guy says,
"Would you care for a martini?" The frog hops out of the box.
"Why, would I? Would I? Would I?" Most people are uncomfortable around frogs like me. But I can see this is going to be a different sort of relationship. So the two of them get to talking, and they really hit it off, Lisa, right away.
That's great.
Isn't it great? The frog had the same taste in classical music as the guy. Yeah.
No.
They both loved impressionist paintings. They both liked to watch weekend tennis matches. I mean, they just shared all these interests. And then when it came time for dinner, the man carried the frog into the kitchen, and the frog offered suggestions. God, I hope this has a good punchline. The frog offered suggestions on how to marinate the steak, how to select the perfect wine to pair with it. Wow. He kept up a steady flow of witty conversation throughout the evening, and the man was just delighted. The frog was indeed everything that the pet store clerk had promised. Well, finally the man started to get kind of tired, and so he set the frog back into its box and he brought it into the bedroom. And as he prepared to turn out the lights, the frog cleared its throat.
I wonder if you would mind very much.
What is it?
Well, I feel, you know, so close to you. I mean, we share so many interests. We've eaten, we've drunk together. I just somehow wouldn't feel right sleeping over here in this box.
Okay, this is going in a direction that I'm not very comfortable with. This is headed...
Again, I should have pre-read this joke.
This is headed into an area that I feel you could get arrested over. Yes. So I'm just wondering... Yeah. Do you want to take a moment and just look ahead and see where it's headed?
No.
Oh!
I want to arrive at the end just with you.
All right, then blindly just keep... Okay.
Because I don't want to have gone this far with the joke and then truncated and ended. It would not be satisfying, even if it's got a horrible ending to it. We're going to do this together. Okay.
All right. So the frog's in the box.
Yeah.
He's like, "Dude,
we've connected. Close to you.
Yeah. Okay. We've bonded. Yeah.
I just somehow wouldn't feel right sleeping in a box. Do you think I could possibly sleep on the pillow next to you?" Guy says,
"Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that."
There's so many things wrong with that.
So he lifts the frog out of a box and he sets it on the pillow.
Oh God!
And he says goodnight and he turns out the lights and he.
Oh God! I can't go on. I don't know what to do here. Come on, okay. I'm starting to sweat.
Part of it is your mind, okay?
I'm starting to sweat and I'm shaking a little bit.
It's a frog. It's a tiny little frog.
Exactly.
Never mind that the frog can talk, but it's just still a frog, okay?
Okay. All right. He's on the pillow. Keep going.
So he says good night, turns out the lights, gets into bed, and he's just dozing off, and he hears another discreet cough.
Excuse me. I hate to ask this, but and I don't think I don't mean anything by it, but
what do you want?
Well, it's just that, you know, I've grown accustomed to, I've always been kissed goodnight before.
I knew it!
So the man shakes his head and he said,
no, you know something, I'm sorry, but no matter how unique you are, and I've enjoyed talking to you and everything, but, no, you're still a frog. That's that.
The frog said, no, I had nothing like that. I mean, I just want a little quick peck on the forehead. I mean, that's all I'm looking for. It would mean a lot to me. Well, the frog sounded so plaintive, and it really was such a wonderful addition to the guy's life that the guy said, what? A kiss wouldn't do any harm, would it? So he leans over. Kiss with the frog.
Okay.
There's a puff of blue smoke. And when it clears, the man finds himself in bed next to a stunningly beautiful blonde 14-year-old girl.
What?
And that, Your Honor, is how my client came to be found in bed with a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, God. That was worse than I thought.
I have got to pre-read these things.
I ain't got a mother. I ain't got a father. I ain't got a sister. Not even a brother. I'm a lonely frog. I ain't got home. I want you to sing to me.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace or pursue your present course and face obliteration.